Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Moi Kotten Daf Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 6 lines from the top of Daf Gimel. During our previous shiur, we were discussing the issue of watering one's field during a Shemitah year. Our Mishnah indicated that one is allowed to do so. As part of our previous discussion, we were analyzing Mashke Mayim Lizroyim, the action of watering plants. If one were to do that on Shabbos, let's say, one would have to warn the individual as to his transgression and as to what Mashkin watering plants is a subcategory of. In other words, it is part of a melacha on Shabbos. And we discussed this in our previous year, that before when warning an individual before transgressing a Shabbos violation, you have to indicate that you have to describe to him the action that he's doing is one of the primary avos melachos, or a subcategory thereof. In that discussion, we saw a machlokas between Rabbah and Rav Yosef as to how to categorize that. Either way, we ran into a difficulty. How could you say Mashkin is either a subcategory of Choresh, of plowing, or of Zorea, of planting, when those actions of Harisha and Zriya are forbidden during the Shemitah year? And yet our Mishnah says that you can mashke, you are allowed to water a Beis HaShlochan on the Shemitah year. So we saw answers to this. Abaye said, well, we're dealing with Shemitah Bizman Hazeh, which is the Rabbanon, and therefore, since it's rabbinic, we can be lenient and allow this action where there would be otherwise a loss. Rava said, even if you hold that Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is Doraisa, not all derivative activities, which we call toldos, are forbidden. Only those that are listed in the pasuk, in Vayikra Perek Chof Hei Pasuk Dalet. So that only those toldos, those derivative activities, are forbidden, but others, like watering, is not forbidden. And that leads us into our opening Gemara today. We start, as we said, 6 lines from the top with a very long question. We're going to be taking in a Tanaic source. It's worth pointing out that this Tanaic source is going to be repeated word for word at the bottom of Daf Gimel. You see another framed section, which in effect is the same source that the Gemara will be presenting again later. What the Gemara is going to do here in this question is, very simply, how can you say that only those toldos that are referenced in Pasuk He of, say, Pasuk Dalid and Pasuk He of Perek Chav He of Vayikra are forbidden, when in this Tanaic source we see many more toldos are forbidden? The structural note that we see on the side of the Gemara under the Mivneh, you can see there's a triangle and double underline that will be used in this source. The triangle will be highlighting the word Minayin, from where do you know, and the double underline will be introducing a Pasuk. And in our note, we've written, Sidra Shel Toldos Avodos Asodeh Shemashmashim Asur Min HaTorah. We're going to see a long list of additional derivative activities that seem to be also from the Torah, meaning the Pasuk will be quoted as being the source for all kinds of additional activities as being forbidden, and not just pruning and harvesting of grapes that the that the Torah seemed to indicate, but many more activities. Umikan kusha al haklal shebenosei hanal. And from here, we're going to be asking on the principle that was taught in the previous topic heading that we have here at the top of the page, which we already explained. So, the Gemara. Veloi, is that so that one is not guilty of a Shemitah violation other than the toldos that the Pasuk enumerated? For Hotanya, we have the following teaching. Sodecholos Sizra, Vecharmecholos Sizmor. Of course, this is a quote from the Pasuk that we saw at the top of the Omid, which says that you shall not plant your fields and you shall not prune your vineyards. Well, if I have just the pasuk as it is, I would think that only planting and pruning are forbidden activities. Minayin, from where do we know? Lenichush uleidur ulekisuach. And this style is going to continue again and again. Each triangle will introduce additional toldos. So at the end of this source, we're going to have quite a list of, an extensive list of additional toldos that are forbidden. What are these things? So from where do we know that nichush is to weed out, and idur is to aerate or till the soil, and kisuach is to cut grasses that are undesirable from your field, to cut them. Nichush is uprooting in a weeding out fashion, and kisuach is cutting them like in a lawnmower style. Talmud Lomar, Sodecha Loi, Karmecha Loi. The Pasuk says, Sodecha Loi Sizmor, Lo Sizra, Karmecha Loi Sivtzor. Now, these expressions, Rashi points out, Talmud Lomar, Sodecha Loi, Karmecha Loi. So Rashi says, Midalok Siv, Lo Sizra Sodecha, from the fact that it does not say it in this fashion, do not plant your field. Lo Sizmor, Karmecha, do not prune your vineyards. Ella, what does it say? Sodecha Lo Sizra, Karmecha Lo Sizmor. Mashma Sodecha Loi, Karmecha Lo. It indicates an increased number of activities that are forbidden. Not just planting and not just pruning. So we continue, and we're going to see exactly how expansive this pasuk is, because we're going to continue quoting the same pasuk, including more and more toldos. Let's read again from where the first double underline appears. Tamalomar sodecho loi karmecho loi, which means loi kol melocha shebesodecho. You're not allowed to engage in any agricultural field activity. Velo kol melocha shebekarmecho, and likewise not in any vineyard related activity. Minayin she'ein mekarsim in vain, mezardin vain, mefaskin be'ilon. From where do we know that one is not allowed to mekarsim? Mekarsim is like pruning. It's just that kirsum is shayach to trees, as opposed to zmira, which is a verb that's used in the context of vines. Ve'ein mezardin. This is the removal of dry branches from a tree. Rashi says, "Mechatech anofim yaveshim vilachim." The fishesh li'anofim yosher midai. It's a process of thinning out branches, both dry branches and fresh branches. But the tree is too overburdened with branches, so that's thinning them out. Vein mefaskin, Rashi says. Soimchen ho'ilon shura'anan yosemidai. This would seem to be creating a support for a tree that is very heavy. Talmud Lomar. So from where do we know that we do not engage in these things? Sodecha loi, karmecha loi, which means lo kol melocha shebesodecha v'lo kol melocha shebekarmecha. Like we said before, all these activities are restricted. Minayin shein mezablin. That's to fertilize. Vein mefarkin, This is the process of removal of stones from tree roots, that are weighing down heavily on tree roots, so one would remove the stones. Ve'ein ma'avkin. Ma'avkin is covering tree roots that are exposed. Ve'ein ma'ashnin be'ilon. Ma'ashnin is a process of creating smoke, or ashan, to remove worms from the tree. Talmud Lomar, Sadacholoi Karma Choloi, which means Kol Melacha Sheba Sadacholoi, the Kol Melacha Sheba Karma Choloi. So far, we've seen then a number of additional toldos, derivative activities. When we say derivative, once again, we're referring to derived from the primary prohibited activities that we call avos, as we saw planting and plowing, when it comes to Shabbos, are considered avos. So activities that have some similarity to them, that promote growth, improve fields, those are called toldos. Yochol lo yekashkesh tachas hazesim v'lo yeadir tachas hagvanim. Are these also forbidden? Not to lekashkesh is to till. It's like idur. It's to till underneath olive trees, and yader is aerate, tilling under vines. V'lo yamalei nikoy mayim, not to fill ditches with water. V'lo yase ugeis likfanim. This is to dig a ditch around the base of a vine in order to have that ditch filled with water. Talmud loimar. So as far as these activities of yekashkesh and yadir tachas likfanim, and etc., these last activities, are they forbidden? Talmud lomar, sodecholoi sizra. That's the pasuk. Do not plant your fields. Zriya bichlal hoisa. Zriya was part of the general category of what the pasuk says, and Rashi quotes it: "Ubishona hashviyas shabbos shabbos, and on the seventh year, your fields shall lay fallow." So there's a general pasuk indicating that the fields are to be left alone. Why then does the pasuk specify, "Do not plant your fields"? Why has it been isolated as a separate activity that's forbidden? After all, there was a general prohibition pasuk. So the Gemara answers, lahakishe leha, to compare other activities to it. Lomar loch, to teach me. Ma zriya miyuchedes, avoydeh shebesodav shebekeren. Just like zriya is something that is unique in that it's something that is done in a field and in a vineyard. Avkol shehi avoda shebesodav veshebekeren. So to anything else that is found, that's an activity in a field and in a vineyard. Now, after all is said and done, we should point out then that as a result of this pasuk sodecholo sizra, so the Braisa wants you then to understand that these other activities that are not they're found exclusively in vineyards and not found in grain in fields, so they're not forbidden. But what do we see from this entire discussion? We see that there are many other toldos that are forbidden. So the Gemara answers, and now, actually, before we go to the answer, so you'll say, so what, that we find many other toldos that are forbidden? So with that, we're bringing into question, how can you say, as we said at the end of our previous year, that mashkin is allowed because when the Torah specifies what it does, only those toldos are forbidden. Like we saw, pruning is forbidden, but other kinds of toldos are not forbidden. Here we see many other toldos are in fact forbidden. So the Gemara answers, "Midrabbanan ukro asmachta bi'alma." The drosha in this brisa is strictly rabbinic, and the fact that a pasuk was being used along the way is just a type of hint or basis for the Rabbanan to expand the list. But on a Torah level, only Zmira is an example of a toldo that is forbidden. Zmira and Bitzira, but not watering. So watering even if you hold that Shvius Bizman Hazeh, that Shvius nowadays is from the Torah, watering is not restricted. And if you say, well, we find lots of other toldos that are restricted, they are usur midrabbanan. And the rabbis can say which activities are forbidden and which are not, and watering is not forbidden. And now we go back to a detail mentioned in this this long Tanaic source. B'kishkush b'shvius mishari, is the process of kishkush really allowed? And we said that kishkush was aerating the soil underneath an olive tree. Is that allowed during the Shemitah year, which seemed to be the case according to the Brisa we read? But for Hoksiv, we have a pasuk that says, "Vashviyas tishmeteno unetashto, tishmeteno milakashkesh unetashto milasakil." The pasuk tells us that on the Shemitah you shall desist and abandon the fields from their agricultural activities. And Tishmetena tells me, cease me likashkesh, from doing that process. Milasakel has to do with what we said, removing stones, that you're not supposed to do that either. But what do we see here? Using our dashed underline emphasis marking, earlier we said in the source, and you have arrows that help you to see where we said that kishkush was allowed during Shemitah, but the drasha from this pasuk would indicate that kishkush is not allowed. Omar Rav Ukva Bar Chamo, so Rav Ukva answers, Trei kishkushi havu. The term kishkush includes two activities, chad ivri ilni v'chad stumi fili. One is ivri ilni, that's to improve, where barid, make it healthy, to improve the tree. And the other kishkush is stumi, is sealing pili, sealing cracks in roots, cracks that are in the tree. And that sealing would be done by packing it with dirt, packing up the cracks with dirt. Avriya ilon osir, to improve the tree, that's called revocha, that's called increasing profit, that is not allowed. However, stumi pili shari, sealing up cracks, and if you don't do that, the tree will deteriorate, so that is allowed. And this is a repeating theme. That which increases profit is forbidden, that which is designed to prevent deterioration is allowed. Now, as you can see, we have a slash mark, and on the side, under our No Sour topic heading, we have the following heading: HaChoresh B'Shvius, plowing a field during the Shemitah year. Machlokes Amoraim e Loikin Olav. We'll see an Amoraic controversy as to whether that leads to a punishment of Malkos, of lashings. The Gemara. Itmar HaChoresh B'Shvius, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, the two are arguing. Chadomar Loike, one says it is worthy of being lashed, the Chadomar Eino Loike, that it is not. And now we have a new marking. You can see a crown shape. And on the side, under the Mivneh heading, these crowns represent Shlavim. They're stages. Levarer, Mahu, Tam, HaMachloikis. What is the explanation of the controversy we just saw? So the Gemara asks, it opens with a question. Maybe the following is a Machloikis. Lema, b'derab oven, amar rab illo, komifugi. Shall we say that the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Elazar is a machlokes as to whether you accept Rabbi Ovin's teaching? The Amar Rabbi Ovin, Amar Rabbi Ilop. Kol mokoim shenema klal be'ase uprat beloisa ase, ein donin oisoi beklal uprat uklal. We're opening up with a rule, and it might appear abstract initially because we're not using an example to illustrate the rule yet, but we have a situation over here where you have a pasuk that has that its makeup or its structure is a general statement followed by a detail, which is again followed by another general statement. In general, you find there are different rules. I think they're called the hermeneutic rules of deriving laws. They're it's an oral tradition of how to deal with different psukim and thereby derive additional points of information that are not stated in the verse explicitly. One of those methods is called klal prat uklal. We have a general statement, a detailed statement, followed again by a general statement. In cases like that, we have the right to include additional points that are not mentioned in the pasuk. There's another type of hermeneutic rule called klal uprat. That's where you have a general statement and then a detail. And when you have a situation like that, the information is limited to that which is stated in the pasuk itself. We say in Hebrew, ein b'chlal elamashe b'prat, that the general statement is totally limited to the detail that's stated explicitly. And that's in contradistinction to klal prat uklal, which allows you to include beyond the detail that's stated in the pasuk. However, here we have a situation, we have a general statement in one form, and we have in the asay, in the positive form, the pasuk says, and Rashi quotes this information, that you have the pasuk says, Ubashono hashviyas shabosun ye la'aretz, that you shall leave your fields lying fallow. That's a positive command. You're told what to do. And then in the detail section of the pasuk, it says, Sodcho loisizra v'karmacho loisizmor. And those are two statements in the negative. You shall not plant your fields. You shall not prune your vineyards. Those are specifics. Those are called prats. And then the pasuk continues with a general statement in pasuk. That, by the way, we cited was pasuk dalet. And in the following pasuk, in pasuk hey, it says shnas shaboson, a year of leaving your fields untilled or uncared for. Shaboson, like the word Shabbos, is a day that you cease from activities. So now, that having been stated, we have a klal, a prat, and a klal. However, the generals are in the positive, and the details are in the negative. That's not a standard form. What does Rabbi Ovin say about psukim in that fashion? So he says that whenever you have that, he says that you do not treat it ein donen oisoy b'klal uprat uklal. You're not going to treat it as that which would be inclusive, but rather we say that you don't have in the general anything beyond that which is in the specific, and in the specific you have zriya and zmira, planting and pruning, to the exclusion of plowing. Plowing is not mentioned in the pasuk. And if you're going to darshan the pasuk in this restrictive fashion, it's not going to include plowing. So plowing will not be forbidden on the Shemitah year, which would then mean that there will be no Malkos. So, do you accept that approach to psukim? So let's continue now in the Gemara. Man de Omar loike, the one who says that there will be lashings for one who plows during the Shemitah year, lesle de Rabbi Ovin Omar Rabbi Ola, he does not hold from Rabbi Ovin's approach. Well, if he does not hold from Rabbi Ovin's approach, that means that the pasuk will be expansive, will be inclusive of other items, other activities. And therefore, we will be able to include Harisha as being a prohibited activity, hence resulting in lashings for one who violates that during the Shemitah year. Once again, even though it's not explicit in the pasuk, it's included by virtue of our not accepting Rabbi Ovin, and hence we do darshan it b'klal prat uklal. Uman diomar eino loike, the opinion that says that there's no malkos, is laid Rabbi Ovin. He does hold from Rabbi Ovin's approach. And as a result, we're not going to be able to include Harisha as another example of a forbidden Shemitah activity. And therefore, if I'm not going to be able to include it as a forbidden activity, there will not be malkos. The Gemara says, lo. At this point, we reject that analysis. Rather, the kuli alma less lay Rabbi Ovin Amar Rabbi Ilah. None of them, meaning not Rabbi Yochanan nor Rabbi Elazar, except Rabbi Ovin. So, if no one accepts Rabbi Ovin, we would then tend to think, let's include Harisha, and there should be Malkus. Ma diomar loike shapir, he who says that there is Malkus, that makes perfect sense. That fits into the scheme of things. We just said that we're not going to accept Rabbi Ovin, and we're going to darshan the pasuk in as a klal pratu klal, so we'll be able to include Harisha as well as a forbidden Shemitah activity. Uma diomar eino loike, he who says that there is no Malkus, even though in general we would darshan this as a klal, pratu klal, I'm not going to include Harisha in this case. Omar Loch, he explains, Michti, let's look into this carefully. Zmira b'chlal zriya. Pruning is a subcategory of planting. Pruning promotes growth just like zriya promotes growth. Ubitzira b'chlal ktzira. And harvesting of grapes is a subcategory, is included within ktzira, harvesting of fields. L'may hilchiso kasvinu rachmana, why does the Torah, after it tells you that you shall not zriya, you shall not plant, you shall not harvest, why does the Torah go on to say, do not prune and do not grape harvest? L'maymar, it's there to tell me the Ahani toldos hu demechayev, that only regarding these toldos will there be guilt. Atolda achrina lo mechayev. On other toldos, like harisha, we're not going to hold someone accountable. Now it's true here we're calling harisha tolda when in fact it's on Shabbos it would be considered an av. But in the context of this Gemara, we're saying that only those actions that are specified, one was held accountable for, and not other things, not other activities that are not specified. So Harisha is being excluded by virtue of the fact that the Torah states specific activities that it wants to prohibit, and from this we derive that other activities are not going to be prohibited. Now, on this, the Gemara asks the same question as we asked before. Really? Veloi? Is that so that other toldos are not prohibited? V'hotanya? We have the following source. And once again, we're going to go through that all the whole Brice again. But since we explained everything before, here, we're just going to read through the Brice, bearing in mind that we see here additional activities that are prohibited. And the Gemara will give the same answer as it did before, that this source doesn't really show that the Torah prohibits additional activities. It's only rabbinic that those additional activities are forbidden, and hence we would conclude that Harisha is not one of those that are included in this particular list. So that if one is choresh during Shemitah, he will not get lashes. And one should not think that the fact that we have this whole list of additional toldos seemingly prohibited based on a pasuk, when in fact they're not based on the pasuk. And what this source reflects are things that are also only midrabbanan. So now the Gemara, it raises this question by presenting the source again. Veloi, v'ha tanya. Do we not have the following teaching? Sadecholoi sizra v'karmecholo sizmar. Ein li elo zirua v'zimor. Minayin, from where do I know to include li'idur l'kishkush l'kisuach? Tamad loi mar sadecholoi v'karmecholoi. Loi kol melacha shebesadcha, v'lo kol melacha shebekarmacha. U'minayin she'ein, mekarsumin vein mezardin vein mefaskin v'ilon, tamad loimar, sadecha, loi, karmacha, loi. Kol melacha shebesadcha, loi, kol melacha shebekarmacha, loi. Minayin she'ein mezablin vein mefarkin vein ma'ashnin v'ilon, tamad loimar, sadecha, loi, karmacha, loi. Kol melacha shebesadcha, loi, v'kol melacha shebekarmacha, loi. So what do we see? We see from here many other toldos that are forbidden. And if you skip to the end after this bracketed section, we see midrabbanan ukras machta di alma. This list includes things that are only osir midrabbanan, and the fact that a pasuk was cited along the way is only an asmachto. It's a basis for the rabbanan to state their halacha without it being an actual Torah source. Now we continue in the source. Yochol lo yekashkesh tachas azesim v'lo yadir tachas hagefanim v'lo yamalei nekoyim mayim v'lo yase ugius legefanim. Talmud loymar sodecho lo yisizra zriya bichlal hoysa v'loma yotzisa lahakishile loma lochma zriya miyuchedes avoida shebesoda v'shebekerem avkol shi avoida shebesoda v'shebekerem, as opposed to these activities which are limited to vineyards and groves and not field activities. So the Gemara answers midrabbanan ukra asmachta bi'alma. We continue at the top of Amud Beis, and we in effect begin here a new discussion. There is a point of connection, and that is the issue of malkos, but it's a totally new discussion. And on the side we have a Nosea topic heading, Tosefes Shvius, Potter Min Hamalkos. Tosefes means adding to. So we have, we'll call it basic Shvius, basic rules of Shemitah, and then an issue of something that's additional. In our Gemara, if one violates that which is additional, one will be exempt from Malkos. The problem that we confront initially in the Gemara is that we don't know what it's referring to when it says additional. Ki osa Rav Dimi Omar. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bovel, he said, Yochol yilke al hatoisefes. Could it be that one would be guilty of lashings for violating toisefes? Toisefes means additional, adding. V'nosiv lo talmudo liftura, and he then presented, he brought along a source, a basis to exempt. So v'lo yodano, and I don't know, my talmudo umay toisefes, what is meant by, what was his basis, and what did he mean initially of toisefes? So, as to in terms of dealing with this, we have on the side a mivneh, a structural note. You see a diamond and a double underline. These represent shnei deos ma nikro toisefes. We have Rebbe Lozer and Rebbe Yochanan in diamonds. Two opinions as to what is meant by toisefes. And the double underlines highlight harisha, and toisefes in terms of activities, and meaning beyond that which the Torah specifies. And we have yomim, double underline, not in terms of activity addition, but rather in terms of calendar, time, dates, time addition. Shemitah, we know, is from Rosh Hashanah, the holiday of Rosh Hashanah, till the next Rosh Hashanah of the seventh year. What about before Rosh Hashanah, ushering in the seventh year? Is there any Shemitah restrictions at that point? That's Toisefes. So we can turn back to the Gemara. Rebbe Lozer Omer Harisha, the definition of Toisefes has to do with plowing. Rashi, third line from the top, Rebbe Lozer Omer Harisha B'Shvius, plowing on the seventh year. Lochikor Toisefes, this is the reason it's called simply something additional. The lonafik ikoru min haTorah. It's not learned from something that's specified explicitly in the Torah. Let me klal uprat uklak anrin le'el. It's a derived point. It's not explicit. And remember, before we saw the Torah, the Gemara that is referring to Harisha as a tolda, when in Hilchos Shabbos it's referred to as an av melocha, but in the context of our Shemitah discussion, it's not explicit in the Torah, so we seem to refer to it as a tolda. It's something derivative. V'hochi ka'omar. We continue in the Gemara. And thusly, Rav Dimi was teaching. Yochol yilke al charisha de asya miklal upratu klal. Can it be that one would be chayav lashings for violating charisha, for plowing during the Shemitah year? Charisha being something derived through klal pratu klal, as we pointed out before, Vayikra, Perichov Hei, Posuk Dalid, and Hei. V'nosiv lo talmudo lifturah. And Rav Dimi presented as a source to exempt the im kain kolhani proti lomali. If harisha was forbidden and would get malchus, would be worthy of lashings, why does the Torah specify so many other activities? Zriya, zimor, ktsira, betsira. If the klal, upratu klal, would have been sufficient, there wouldn't have been a necessity of spelling out all those other activities. The fact that the Torah spells out all those other activities, it's actually a way of saying only those activities are forbidden and not harisha. When we speak about forbidden, once again, we're speaking in the context of would it result in lashing or not. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Yomim, Sheo Sifu Chachomim Lefnei Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yochanan says that Tosefes, that Rav Dimi said above, would be exempt from lashing, is someone who violated the additional time that's added by the Chachomim before Rosh Hashanah. V'hochi Ko'omar, Yochol Yilke Al Tosefes Rosh Hashanah, could one be guilty for violating the additional, we call it the pre-Shemitah time period, where even before the actual Shemitah year sets in, there are prohibitions. And this idea is derived, the Asya mi b'chorish uv'kotzir tishbois. This is a pasuk that will be dealt with later in the Gemara, but from this pasuk, b'chorish uv'kotzir tishbois, we learn that there is such a thing as Tosefes Shemitah, that there is this idea of adding to the Shemitah year in terms of time. V'nosiv lo talmuda leftura, and Rav Dimi presented a basis for exempting from lashing one who does violate that Tosefes time period, kidebo'inon lemeimar lekamon, as will be discussed later in the Gemara. This is something we'll have to wait for till Daf Dalid to see the sources. Ma yomim shilifnei Rosh Hashanah. You just mentioned that there were days before Rosh Hashanah that are also included. What do you mean by that? So we have a new marking, and on the side under the Mivneh heading, we're going to be accentuating Havlata. Havlata means to highlight or accentuate. Shel Havlata shel ad mosai horshim, until when this plowing take place, or until when is plowing allowed prior to the Shemitah year. So it says in this source, Kidisnan, Ad Mosai Horshin B'Stei Ilon Ereshvias, until what point can one plow a grove of trees? Ereshvias, a person has fruit trees, and he plows the field of trees for the benefit of the field. So when we're talking about on the sixth year is a year that you're allowed to engage in agricultural activities. However, if the activities that you're doing are for the purpose of the seventh year, in preparation of the seventh year, so we're going to see restriction. Because just like on the year, seventh year itself, you're not supposed to engage in agricultural activities, so too, you're not supposed to engage in activities that are for the benefit of the seventh year, even though, you're technically speaking, you're doing those activities during the sixth year. So until when can we say that the plowing that you're doing in the sixth year is for the sixth year, and hence allow it? Beishamay omrim kozman shiyofe lepri. As long as the plowing improves the fruits that are on the trees of the sixth year, the sixth year fruits, so you can plow. However, when the plowing is not going to benefit the fruits that are on the trees, but rather it would be of benefit for the next year, then we're not going to allow it. Ubeis Hillel Omrim. Beis Hillel says Ad Ho'atzeres, that plowing is allowed, of a plowing of a tree grove is allowed on the sixth year until Atzeres is Shavuos of the sixth year. Ukroivim Divrei Elu Lioski Divrei Elu, the time that Beis Shammai presents, which is called Machia for the Pri, and Shavuos are very close to one another. So that there's almost a sense of agreement between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel as to when you have to stop plowing during the sixth year. The Admosai Horshin Stei Halavon Erev Shvius. Stei Halavon is a grain field. Until when is one allowed to plow a grain field on Erev Shvius, on the sixth year? Mishetichla Halecha. When lecha is dampness. Now Rashi says to Shetichla Halecha, Shekolin Hakshomim Shoshana Shishis, when the rain of the sixth year stops falling. In Eretz Yisrael, which is the focal point of the Mishnayos, this is a Tanaic source. In Eretz Yisrael, there was a specific rainy season and a non-rainy season, so that the source is saying that when you reach the end of the rainy season of the sixth year, the Ada Hishaita, Rashi says, Mahani Harishal Israel Deshonazu, any plowing that you engage in before the end of the rains is beneficial for the planting of the sixth year. Avot mishetichla lecha, from when the dampness finishes, eino yochol lachrosh, you're not allowed to plow anymore, even though it's still the sixth year. The mechzi kechor shetzorch shvius, it appears that you're plowing for the benefit of the seventh year. The hainu kozman shebnei odom chorshim lita mikshois. And that is represented by the time that people plow their fields for the purpose of planting kishuin. Mikshos is kishuin, a type of vegetation. So let's see. We'll go back to the text, the Gemara text. We said up till when can you plow a grain field on the sixth year? And we said mishitichla lecha v'chozman shebnei adam chorshim lita mikshos umidlos. And as long as people are plowing for the purpose of planting mikshos and midlos, kishuin and diluin, different types of vegetation. So if the plowing on the sixth year is for that purpose, so then you can plow. Beyond that time, no. Reb Shimon Oimer, im kain, if you're going to state the halacha like that, im kain, nosata, nosna tera, shiur l'chol echad v'echad biyadoi, it becomes very individual, which means we're not having some type of uniform time frame. It becomes dependent on each individual. Some people plant earlier than others. And in halacha, we like to have something uniform, something that's clear for everybody. Elo, b'stei alovon, ad pesach, b'stei ilon, ad ho'atzeres. So Reb Shimon gives us a different standard, and he says that when it comes to a grain field, it's until Pesach, and that only up till Pesach can you plow. Pesach of the sixth year, and with regard to a tree, a grove of trees, it's ad ho'atzeres, until Shavuos, but not beyond that. The Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapora. Now, up till now, we've been discussing Tosefes Shvius. And we presented in this Tanaic source, we saw Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai telling us that there is Tosefes Shvius. Bar Kapora then comes along and says, Rabban Gamliel u'Beis Dino nimnu al shnei prokim halolu u'bitlum. Rabbi Gamliel and his court, they were later chronologically than Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Rabbi Gamliel and his court came and they voted regarding these two time periods, the Stei Ha'ilon and the Stei Ha'lovon time period, and canceled them. In simple terms, and this is our topic heading on the side, the Nosei, Rabbi Gamliel Beis Dinu Bitlu Tosefes Shmita. It appears here that they came and they voided or canceled this obligation of Tosefes Shvius.
As the Gemara continues, you'll notice triangles appearing in alternating directions. And under the Mivneh, the structural note, you can see we've called this a Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give-and-take style discussion. So when the triangle point is facing upwards, that represents She'elos, questions. The inverted triangle, responses, Tshuvos. The Gemara opens with a question that lasts a number of lines. Omar Le Rabbi Zeir Rabbi Avo. V'yamri Lo, another version of names is Reish Lakish Le Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Zeira or Reish Lakish are raising a question. Rabbi Gamliel Beis Dino Heichi Motzu Mevatli Takanta De Beis Sham Beis Hillel. How can the latter Rabbi Gamliel and his court come along and cancel a ruling of the earlier Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? For Hotnan, we have a rule that says, Ein based in Yochel Vatel Divrei based in Chavero. A court cannot undo, cannot annul the rulings of a previous court, Elohim Ken Godol Mimenu B'Chochom of a Minyan, unless that later court is greater in scholarship and in numbers. Which is not the case when looking at Rabbi Gamliel vis-a-vis Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So he didn't have the power. He doesn't have the power or the license to cancel the ruling of that earlier court. So that was the question posed to either Rabbi Avo or Rabbi Yochanan, depending on which version of names. Ishtoimem kisho chada. That means initially he had no answer. That was a very serious question. And then answered. Omale. And then he answered. And here we have a new marking. We have this featured on the side. These are tshuvos la she'ela. These are questions. These are answers, that is. The bow tie represents answers to the question, what power did Rabbi Gamliel have to cancel Tosefes Shvius? So the answer is, Amor, kach hisnu beinehem. Shammai and Hillel, when they made the initial takona of Tosefes Shvius, they built in its undoing. They made a condition called Haroitz Levatel, Yovel Levatel. Anyone who wants to can come along and cancel our ruling. So it's not as if it's some type of power that Rabban Gamliel and his Beis Din took upon themselves to undo an earlier ruling, when it's those that made the early ruling built in its very undoing. The Gemara asks, did who he? Tosefes Shvius. Is it really theirs? Is it the ruling of Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel? Halacha Moshe Misinai hi. It's an early, much earlier tradition. It's an oral tradition dating back to the giving of the Torah itself. The Omer of Asiyom, Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum, Rabbi Nechunya, Ishbikas, Beis Chorson. The following was taught by Rabbi Nechunya. There are three points of halacha, and we're going to emphasize only the first of the three. The other two are not relevant to our discussion. They are Eser Netiyos, Arova, V'Nisuch HaMayim, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. The Eser Netiyos is relevant to us. Netiyos are saplings. And we've emphasized with our dashed underlining, Eser Netiyos is a rule concerning 10 saplings that are scattered equally, equal distance from one another in an area measuring a beis, which is 50 by 50 amos. And the halacha says, the oral tradition says, that you're allowed to plow for their benefit on Erev Shvius up till Rosh Hashanah. And we infer, there we allow plowing up till Rosh Hashanah, because if you don't, they will die. They're saplings. They need this care. But, we infer, other plowings are not allowed. Erev Shvius. So what do we see from here? We see that Erev Shvius is a time of plowing prohibition, halacha lemoshe misinai, based on an oral tradition. So Tosefes Shviyos is an oral tradition from Sinai and not something that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai invented. The Gemara answers. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, ki gemiri hilchasa, when we have this oral tradition, hilchasa is the halacha lemoshe misinai regarding Tosefes Shviyos, shloshim yoyim lifnei Rosh Hashanah. That is true, but only with regard to 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah it represents the beginning of Shemitah, which is the first of Tishrei. The first of Elul, that month of Elul is prohibited in agricultural activities by virtue of the Halacha Lemoshe Misinai. V'yasu Hani, and came along Hillel and Shammai, Tikun Mipesach U'Me'atzeres. And they instituted a longer extension period, backing up till Pesach and Shavuos. We said before, Pesach with regard to grain fields and Shavuos with regard to tree groves. The Asnu Bididhu, and concerning their extension, they built in a condition, Kol HaRotze Levatel Yavo V'Yevatel. Anyone who wants to come along, and here's a reference to what we saw in the Gemara of Gamliel Beis Dino, can come and undo our extension period. The Gemara asks a question. Now this question is, again, a long question. V'hani hilchasoninu, are these times really halacha lemoshe misinai kroininu? There's an even stronger origin, and namely, they're from psukim. They're from actual verses. Desanya, the pasuk says, "Bechorosh uvekotzer tishbois." Rabbi Akiva Oimer, "Ein tzorach lomar chorosh vekotzer shvius." The Torah doesn't have to say that you shall cease from plowing and harvesting during the Shemitah year itself. Sharei kvar nemar, the pasuk says, "Sodcha lo yisizra vekarmecha lo yisizmar." So we see references already to the prohibition of harvesting from the pasuk. So what does the pasuk of Bechorosh Bekotzer Tishbos teach me? Elo Chorosh El Erev Shvius. That's Tosefes. The Erev Shvius Harisha Shenichnas. We continue at the top of the Afgalad Amin Aleph Shenichnas L'Shvius. The sixth year, entering the seventh year, is restricted. The Kotzir Shal Shvius Shiotzul Matzoy Shvius. Likewise, harvesting of during the eighth year of things that grew during the seventh year are prohibited. We have a brackets here because we want to de-emphasize Rabbi Shmuel for right now. And what do we see? Therefore, we see that Tosefes Shvius is sanctioned or is based on this pasuk of Bechorosh Uvekotzer Tishbois, and it's not merely halacha lemoshe misinai. The Gemara will then answer that shortly, but we did skip in the Tanaic source, Rabbi Shmuel Oimer. Ma Chorosh Rishus Av Kotzer Rishus. Rabbi Shmuel learned this pasuk of Bechorosh Uvekotzer Tishbos, the word Tishbos from the word Shabbos. He learns it not as a reference to the Shemitah year, but as a reference to Shabbos, Saturday. And he says, from here we learn, just like plowing is something that is always optional, so too, and that's what's forbidden on Shabbos, so too Ktsira, which is optional, is forbidden on Shabbos. Yotzuk Tzir Omer, to the exclusion of the harvesting of the Omer barley grains on the 16th of Nisan, if it coincides with a Shabbos, Shehi Mitzvah. There you're commanded to do it. That's an example of Tzirah that will override Shabbos, because it's not similar to Harisha. It's not optional. You have to harvest the barley grains for the Omer offering, but that's a bit off the topic for right now. What do we see? We see Tosefes Shvius as being usur based on a pasuk. So far, we've seen pasuk, we've seen halacha moshe misinai, and we've seen Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Elo, Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, ki gmiri hilchasa lemishri yalda. the oral tradition, that tells me that the 10 saplings that are growing within a base saw, you can plow up till Rosh Hashanah mamish, literally up till Rosh Hashanah. Kroi lemesar zekena. The pasuk tells me that plowing of older trees is forbidden. In other words, that you cannot plow right up till Rosh Hashanah. You have to stop earlier. Question. V'kevan dehilchasa lemishri yalda. Once you tell me that you have an oral tradition that allows the plowing only of the young trees up till Rosh Hashanah, lav memela zekena asira, then doesn't it follow by logic that the old trees are forbidden? So I wouldn't need a pasuk to tell me that which is derived from the oral tradition. Ela hilchasa, the presence of an oral tradition regarding Tosefes Shvius, LeRebbe Yishmael. I need the oral tradition according to Rebbe Yishmael, because as far as he was concerned, the role of the pasuk was for a Shabbos halacha, the halacha concerning the harvesting of the Omer barley grains. So, as far as Rebbe Yishmael is concerned, how do I know of the existence of Tosefes Shvius? That is from the oral tradition. Kroy, the psukim that are teaching me about Tosefes Shvius, that is the Rebbe Akiva. That is as far as his approach is concerned. Now, you see, we have another bow tie. This is a second approach to dealing with how could Rabbi Gamliel undo an earlier takona Beisham Beis Hillel when we say Ein Beis in Yochel Vatel Divrei Beis L'Chaver Lim Kein Gadol Imenu B'Chochma Minyan. So Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Rabbi Gamliel U'Beis Dino Mida Oraisa Batel Luhu. They weren't coming on their own as great rabbis undoing a ruling of an earlier Beis Din. They came by virtue of a pasuk, a Torah source that they found, and that, of course, is much stronger, and that would enable them to undo that earlier ruling. So that's midoraisa batalu, my taima. What is that Torah basis? Gomar Shabbos Shabbos Mishabbos Bereshis. They have a Gezeirah Shavah through a word comparison. And you should note, by the way, that we have a new marking this house form, and on the side under the Mivneh heading we note Hezbeirim Bahad Omer Midoraisa Batil. Rabbi Yochanan here is telling us that Rabbi Gamliel is based on something in the Torah. There are two approaches to what that means. So at this point, it appears that there is a Gezeirah Shavah, that's a word comparison, from words in the Torah, from Mishabbos Bereishis. Shabbos Bereishis is Saturday. It's just another way of saying Shabbos, so as to differ it, to contrast with other uses of the word Shabbos that could at times refer to a holiday, at times refer to Shemitah year. Shabbos Bereishis means Shabbos, for what we call Shabbos or Saturday. Ma lahalon hi asura lefonel lachera mutarin. Just like with regard to Shabbos, it's the basic day is aser, but before it and after it is allowed. In other words, on Shabbos you cannot do malachas, you can't write, you can't sew, you can't cook and bake, and you can't do all the other things listed in the Ovos Malachas, in the list in Masechet Shabbos Daf Ayin Gimel. But before it on Friday and after it on Sunday, you are allowed. So af kan, so too with regard to Shvius, hi asura, the seventh year itself is forbidden. Lefuna achra mutarin, before it, the sixth year and the eighth year are allowed. A question: Maskif law Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi feels that that which Rabbi Yochanan just presented is not a real Gezeira Shava. A Gezeira Shava word comparison has to be something that you have on tradition. It's not something you can make up on your own. So Rav Ashi says, Mandi Omar, according to Rabbi Shmuel, for example, Hilchisa, that Tosefes Shvius is an oral tradition. Asya Gezeira Shava Akri Hilchisa, can a homemade Gezeira Shava come and updo an oral tradition? Can it uproot, undo an oral tradition? If there's a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai that says that there is Tosefes Shvius, as Rabbi Shmuel would have you believe, how can a homemade Gezeira Shava, which you don't have even a right to make, how can that come and undo an oral tradition? Umad Amakra and Rabbi Akiva, who said that Tosefes Shvius is based on the pasuk that we saw before, Asya Gezeira Shava Akra Kra, can a homemade Gezeira Shava come and undo that which the pasuk teaches? Elo Omar Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi explains, what did Rabbi Yochanan mean before when it's Rav Gamliel Beis Dinim Midoraisa Batalahu? What does that mean? Elo, so Rav Ashi says, Rav Gamliel Beis Dino Savri La Kerabi Yishmael, the Omar Hilchasa Gamiri La. They, Rav Gamliel and his court, held like Rabbi Shmuel said, that the Isur of Tosefes Shvius is Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. We saw that Shitas Rabbi Shmuel, V'chi Gemiri Hilchasa, and when is the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai binding? When is it taught? Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim, Dumya Deniso Chamayim. It is binding at the time the Beis HaMikdash is standing, similar to the rule of Nisuch HaMayim, which we did not explain before, but that has to do with water libations that are done on the altar. So just like that is obviously only when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, and together with that, with the Din of Nisuch HaMayim, which is a practice done on the holiday of Sukkot, and just like that is limited to the Beis HaMikdash, so to the other points, the Eser Netiyos and the Arava are limited to this time of the Beis HaMikdash. Avo bizman shein Beis HaMikdash kayim lo, but when the Beis HaMikdash unfortunately is no longer standing, so then that halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai of plowing restrictions during the sixth year do not apply either. So it's based on that. Analysis that Rav Gamliel Beis Dino were able to undo Tosefes Shvius, and hence they're not voiding the ruling of Beis Sham Beis Hillel. They're simply Rav Gamliel Beis Dino simply clarifying that Rav Gamliel Beis Dino, when they issued their ruling, which is in effect based on a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, that has effect only when the Beis HaMikdash is standing. When it's not standing, it's no longer binding. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our Shiur for today.